Welcome back to Breakthrough, Waking Up to the Real You. I am your host, Alejandra Vivanco. Thank you so much for joining me today on this midweek devotional. Remember to subscribe and share the podcast if you haven't already, and also make sure to follow me on Instagram at alevivanco29 for more. Again, I want to thank you because I've seen that people have shared the podcast, whether that's my midweek devotional series, my Sunday's Word series, which is the New Testament, and the book series, which happens every Monday, or even the Food for Thought series, which is a very small episode happening on Fridays. I appreciate that, and I hope that any of my series just helps you pick up a book, especially the Bible. So today we're going to talk about Isaiah 24. I want to make sure that I just go ahead and do a special midweek devotional for Isaiah, because there are a lot of books, and usually at church, we read a lot from the book of Isaiah. So I find that this particular book says a lot of interesting things that they obviously repeat themselves in the New Testament in a different way, but it's just a good, good book. So Isaiah 24, it says, "The Lord's devastation of the earth." See, the Lord is going to lay waste the earth and devastate it. He will ruin its face and scatter its inhabitants. It will be the same for priest as for people, for the master as for his servant, for the mistress as for her servant, for seller as for buyer, for borrower as for lender, for debtor as for creditor. The earth will be completely laid waste and totally plundered. The Lord has spoken this word. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The heavens languish with the earth. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear their guilt. Therefore, earth's inhabitants are burnt up, and very few are left. The new wine dries up, and the vine withers. All the merrymakers groan. The joyful timbrels are stilled. The noise of the revelers has stopped. The joyful harp is silent. No longer do they drink wine with a song. The beer is bitter to its drinkers. The ruined city lies desolate. The entrance to every house is barred. In the streets they cry out for wine. All joy turns to gloom. All joyful sounds are banished from the earth. The city is left in ruins. Its gate is battered to pieces. So will it be on the earth and among the nations, as when an olive tree is beaten, or as when gleanings are left after the grape harvest. They raise their voices, they shout for joy. From the west they acclaim the Lord's majesty. Therefore in the east give glory to the Lord. Exalt the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, in the islands of the sea. From the ends of the earth we hear singing, glory to the righteous one. But I said, I waste away, I waste away. Woe to me, the treacherous betray. With treachery the treacherous betray. Terror and pit and snare await you, people of the earth. Whoever flees at the sound of terror will fall into a pit. Whoever climbs out of the pit will be caught in a snare. The floodgates of the heavens are opened. The foundations of the earth shake. The earth is broken up. The earth is split asunder. The earth is violently shaken. The earth reels like a drunkard. It sways like a hut in the wind. So heavy upon it is the guilt of its rebellion that it falls, never to rise again. In that day the Lord will punish the powers in the heavens above and the kings on the earth below. They will be herded together like prisoners bound in a dungeon. They will shut up in prison and be punished after many days. The moon will be dismayed, the sun ashamed, for the Lord Almighty will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before its elders with great glory. Woo, the word of the Lord. This is basically painting the picture of Revelations. This is saying what's going to happen when God says, you know what? We've had enough with earth. We're just going to go ahead and destroy it. And today I did a reading at the church of the book of Isaiah. And the visuals of what Isaiah is talking about, it says kind of the same thing, though it's a different part of the book, which is that the heavens will open up and everything on earth, every element will be melted by fire. And you must be found without a spot or a blemish so that you can be before him, capital H, capital I, capital M, and you can be at peace in heaven. So he's saying basically what I have been told for a long time, people that don't believe in God or they don't believe in justice, is that here Isaiah is addressing exactly that, when the time comes, which again, we don't know when that time comes, whether you are alive or your body is just gone, people will face justice, final judgment. And to some, it sounds foreign, but once you begin to align yourself with God and what he wants and your faith and following Jesus and asking and praying and being grateful, you understand that this is something that will happen. If it happens tomorrow, I want to be found without a spot or a blemish. And it doesn't matter what status you have, how much money you have, how many things you have, how many degrees you have, how much you have bought for your house or bought for your friends. The servant and the master are going to be looked at as the same. There is no hierarchy whatsoever. We are all children of God, and we're all going to pay the consequences of our actions. Because when God looks at us, he doesn't care if you have money or not. He cares about you following Jesus and accepting him as your Lord and Savior. Because Jesus was not dying on the cross, but let me rewind. Before that, he was not tortured as he was for you to be able to buy things and for you to feel like you're worth more because you have money or you're worth less because you don't have money. Life is not about that. There's nowhere in the Bible that says if you don't have a house, you don't get into heaven. On the contrary, it doesn't matter where you are on the hierarchy of society, economics, you will be judged the same as your boss or as your employee. And Isaiah is talking about the end times. And he's talking about how the joyful people will no longer find joy. It's over. The party is over and we're all going to be called home. Now, which one is your home? Is your home heaven? Is your home hell? Because the ones that want to escape won't be able to. And you're going to stay where you belong. Not because God wishes for you to be there, but because you made the choices you made. Now you're going to go to the place you were building to go. Do you believe you're going to go to heaven? Do you believe you're going to go to hell? Some people may say, I don't believe in hell or heaven. Okay. What type of life are you building based on love, based on serving others? Are we serving people? Are we being kind to people even when they're not kind? We love one another. We donate our time or money, whichever. Or is it about me? Me, me, me. That's why if you're still alive and breathing, then you still have time to repent and serve. When we think about the great imagery that Isaiah is proposing in this reading, we have to really align ourselves with the message and not judge how he's saying it, but at the very least that may be a possibility for some. For me, that is a certainty because I do believe in the end times, whether that happens in my lifetime on earth or after I'm gone from earth. But I do believe in final judgment. I don't believe so much in man's law. I believe in God's law. Because some people think they can get away with things, but nobody can get away with anything. Even if you think people are not looking, even if you know people that have died and have gotten away with things on Earth, they're not getting away with anything. We're talking about eternity, not a fraction of time here on Earth. And the only way you can get saved is by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Again, he didn't die for nothing. He didn't resurrect for nothing. He didn't raise people from the dead for nothing. He didn't cure and make miracles for nothing, casting out demons for nothing. But we just don't want to hear that. We don't want to believe that because we are programmed to be of and in this world and focus on what's immediate and available to us when it comes to things and competing with one another. And there's nothing inherently wrong with competition, with bettering ourselves, but that's not the God of your life. God is the God of your life and everything else is just what is. That's perspective. So you must understand the consequences of not believing and own up to them when the time comes, whether that's in your lifetime or somebody else's lifetime. When your time comes and you face God, the one who made everything, you can say, yes, I still don't believe. And you can go to a place where non-believers go. And you must accept that without complaints because you signed up for that. I, on the other hand, choose to believe. And I know God is with me. And I know that God put me here to talk to you. Because there are some people that are on the fence. What do you have to lose? That is a very important question that we must ask ourselves when it comes to coming back to Jesus. What do we have to lose? If you're depressed, if you're alone, if you don't know what's going on in your life, what do you have to lose? If you just sit down and pray and pour yourself out to God and let Him take care of any situation. But you must place your faith and trust in Him and trust His timing and trust His silence and trust His ways. And I know it's very hard. Trust me, as a controlling person, I know it's hard. But if I don't go 100% in what I believe in what I'm talking about, then I'm a fool. Because that means that I am not truly somebody who knows what it is to have faith and knows what it is to love God and follow Him. We cannot do it all. We can't. It's just not possible. What is possible is for us to be free by just trusting God and saying, look, at the very least, the benefit of the doubt, I may not know what may happen after I die. I don't know where my soul is going. But I do know that there are consequences that exist in the universe. And if I'm doing the wrong things, even though I may rationalize it, I may justify it, if I'm doing the wrong things and I haven't paid for it, or I thought I paid for it, what's going to happen when my body is gone and just my spirit is around? Where would I go? Where do I deserve? Where does my spirit deserve to go? To heaven? To a place of hope? To a place of eternal joy and peace? Do I deserve to go there? Truly, honestly, you have to look within. Or truly, how I've been behaving and acting and talking and thinking, I deserve to go to a place where it aligns with how I have been behaving, acting, and thinking. No hope, no God, no joy, just following my flesh and the desires of the world, pleasures, immediate things. If that's the vibe, you're going to hell. Or what hell would be like for you. Hell doesn't need to be a fiery place. It needs to be your worst nightmare without God. That's hell. So you get to choose. And Isaiah was talking about this in the Old Testament, the same man who predicted Jesus coming. Think about it. Where do you want to be? What life are you building? So that when you die, your soul just reaps the benefits of your works, of your faith, of your love, of your service, of your compassion. And I know it's hard. It's hard because we want to go back to our old ways of fighting and complaining and discussing and back and forths. There's no time for that. There is no time anymore. The time is now. In that day, the Lord will punish the powers in the heavens above and the kings on the earth below. They will be herded together like prisoners bound in a dungeon. They will be shut up in prison and be punished after many days. The moon will be dismayed, the sun ashamed, for the Lord Almighty will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before its elders with great glory. Again, this is Breakthrough Waking Up to the Real You, and I'll see you next time. Bye.